So back to St. Louis, eh?
Stanley Cup in the building.
Are you going back to Boston? Is the question.
Well, the odds seem to be against it. I mean, you can never count it out, but look, I know there's a lot of controversy about last night, about the non-call, the 2-0 goal. But, you know, even though the shots were in Boston's favor, I thought St. Louis was pretty good. You know, especially as the game went on, I thought Binnington saved them early when Boston charged out really well. But I thought for a long time after that, St. Louis was really good. They've neutralized Boston's number one line. I think they've been the better team for most. I think 3-2 St. Louis going home is a fair result in this series.
Yeah, it's hard. And I do want to talk about the controversy. But first, it seems like because you go through this series and Boston has done a great job when they have the power play. Their power play has been terrific. 5-on-5 seems to suit St. Louis better. And yeah, the deeper you get into the series, they're not getting 4 and 6 power plays. Last night it was 3, and that's it. To their credit, they're killing them off. And then 5-on-5, the Blues are able to get it done.
Yeah, and last night was their best penalty killing night of the series. You know, Boston had a couple of chances, but St. Louis was much better. And you know, the Bergeron line is being outscored 4-0, 5-on-5.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
The only line that's positive 5-on-5 for them is the fourth line, which actually got scored on that controversial one last night.
Right.
It's tough to win when you can't play 5-on-5.
Yeah. And it's weird because coming into last night, we were talking yesterday on the show about how the Blues, despite the power play or the penalty kill struggles earlier in the series and some of the goals that Binnington had been letting in, because they had been getting a little bit more and more soft as the series and the playoffs went on, that they were overcoming those bad goals or those timely goals for the opposition and the penalty kill. And right now they're just kind of fine tuning every little part of that game. And they're a win away. It's been a roller coaster for them, up and kind of like the regular season, I guess. But they've had to overcome a lot, and now are crazy close.
Well, also games 5-7 of a series now, they're 7-1.
I read that this morning. Yeah,
it truly does get better as series continues. Now, here's my question for you: if St. Louis wraps this up on Sunday,
yeah,
who should win the Conn Smythe?
Yeah, I don't know. We were talking this morning. You feel like it'd be Rask for Boston, maybe Bergeron. I don't know.
I think if Boston wins, it's Rask.
Yeah.
I don't think that's as difficult a vote. I think if Boston wins, I think it's Tuukka Rask.
It's interesting because I think he's been quietly great. Alex Pietrangelo has been a horse this playoff.
Yep.
And I don't know if that's Conn Smythe worthy. It's maybe not the star caliber. Maybe Binnington gets it, but you vote on it, right?
Yes, I do have a vote. And right now, especially after last night, I'm leaning towards Binnington.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, you know, who's starting to get some play is O'Reilly.
Yeah. It's hard though, because he has one goal in 17. Because it is an award for the entire playoff, but 68% last night, 3 goals, 3 assists in his last 4, and he willed them to win in game number 4, or game number 3. I'm trying to get my math right. He was terrific that night.
Game 4. And, you know, I think that if you look at St. Louis's guys, like, to me, I think their top two guys I'd vote for would be Binnington and Pietrangelo. You got O'Reilly. You know, Tarasenko's an interesting one. You know, he's got a lot of goals. I don't think you can really... you know who I think has had a great playoff, too, is Parayko.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's a tough one. I think the top two guys on my St. Louis list would probably be Binnington and Pietrangelo.
It was interesting to see the ice time when it was all said and done, as Craig Berube, he went with his horses. Bortuzzo plays just over seven minutes. Vince Dunn coming back from injury, but still 11:27. The top three are all 26, 27, 28 minutes. J-Bo, yep. 29 minutes. speaks to the importance Berube saw in winning that game, obviously, last night.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the thing that happens now, too, Dean, is that there's 2 days off between every game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know people are complaining about this. I support this. I you know, Ron and I were talking about it off air the other night, and I think it gives you your best chance at healthy hockey, at the healthiest possible hockey, is that at this time of year, it gives you a chance that guys who can play, they can recover, they can heal, and they can be as healed as they can possibly be. Like, we know no one is healthy right now. But, you know, if there's only one day off, does Chara play yesterday? You know, how many guys are able to compete because there's those extra days off? And I think that allows you to, the other thing I think it allows you to do is play your guys. You know, like, you know, now with, I'm sure they probably would have done it anyway, even with only one day off. But with two, you can really ride your top guys, knowing you're staying over and then they fly and you get that extra day of rest and recovery. I support it. I'm for it.
Is there a team in this series that benefits more than the other from the extra rest?
I don't know. I think they both benefit from it. You know, if Boston can get Grizzlick back for game six, I guess you could say it's them. You know, they miss him. He's been a really good player for them.
Just doubling back to the Binnington thing for a second. This is obviously an amazing run. Rookie goalie comes out of nowhere, middle of the season, takes them from last place to now within a win of the Stanley Cup. And wouldn't you look at that, he needs a contract next season. He's an RFA. Yeah. What on earth is that negotiation going to be like?
Well, I mean, if he wins the Stanley Cup in the Conn Smythe, it's going to be really interesting. Like, I was doing some research into this, and you know, I had a couple agents say to me that if they didn't get a deal they liked, then the best move for them might be simply to see if the team takes them to arbitration and ask for a 2-year award.
Yeah.
Because a 2-year award takes them right to unrestricted free agency.
Mm.
But, you know, they've got a couple ones. Like, I mean, that one's going to be interesting. And also, what are you paying Berube?
I was going to say, because the coach is interim.
You know, the average NHL coach now is making 2.75. Todd McLellan is making just under $5 million. He's never won a cup.
And do you feel...
Ralph Kruger is making just under $4 million, never won a cup.
And do you feel like if you were to come into the 19-20 season... that St. Louis is going to be able to recreate that magic again? It just feels like something that it has been in the moment, shift by shift, game by game, because you go back to, they could have been done against San Jose. They had that hand pass, and then they win the next two games. They were up against it against Dallas, but found a way. Just so close to being out altogether, but now there's just no way to recreate this, I don't think.
Well, the thing is, like, everybody could be coming back. Like, who on that team is leaving?
This is where it is. This is where I'm thick-headed. I did this with Vegas last year.
Mm-hmm.
Until they were in the Stanley Cup final, I still wasn't buying in. I don't know if they're that good. I'm stubborn and I'm dumb. I just don't see, even with...
Well, I'm not going to argue with you on that point.
I didn't think you would. They're just getting the most out of everybody.
Yes.
They're getting absolute max contributions. I don't think you can expect it again.
I'll tell you the other one that I think that's going to be really interesting is Maroon.
Mm-hmm.
This guy couldn't get an offer last summer. I don't think that's happening this year.
No, he'll find something somewhere. On the other side, let's talk about the penalty, because it is difficult. There's not a lot of sympathy for the Bruins out there with the way Marchand conducts himself and just the way that they have been, and again, outplayed 5-on-5 really throughout the playoffs. But if you were to put your Bruins jersey on and be a diehard, you'd be just choked today with what took place.
Yeah, I mean, you would. I mean, I wonder if Barbashev's getting a game for his hit on Johansson. They announced just before we came on that there's a hearing for him. I mean, the thing I would say, first of all, is that they're not losing because of the penalty. I mean, St. Louis earned that win. I mean, I think that's the most important thing to say. I know they're mad. I mean, look, there was a play at the end of the second period with Sundqvist and Krug. I was surprised there was no call. And that was the one where Krejci made the unbelievable save off Pietrangelo, or else that was going to be a 2-0 game there. And I think if you're Boston, you have to be aware that you have to keep playing in those circumstances. I mean, obviously, to me, it was a missed call. But, you know, you're right. I mean, I don't think a lot of people would be sympathetic to Boston, but the fact is this. You know, remember in the off day between games 3 and 4, Berube was asked about the penalties. He said too many. He felt there have been some unfair calls. And Cassidy said, well, you know, like, I'm not going to complain about the refereeing until I think it's, well, he used another word, terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he came out with it last night. Like, he's trying to buy the call.
Yeah.
He's hoping that this gets remembered for Sunday night. It's the gamesmanship that gets played. I generally think all things even out. I said on the post-game show last night, I kind of wondered if it was, you know, the power plays were 3-1 at the time. They didn't want to give Boston another one. Now, I did have some pushback on that comment, but, you know, we all know that, you know, that does get managed. Game management does get done that way. But, you know, hey, was it annoying for Boston? Yes. Were they upset? Yes. Did they have reason to be upset? Sure. Was it the reason they're behind? No. St. Louis has taken control of the series.
Elliot Friedman, our guest here on Sportsnet 960. The cup will be handed out in either the next game or two, which then paves the way for the awards and the draft and July 1st, which is, I mean, it's all the busiest part of the season in a way is coming up. We had Brad Treliving on, I guess Wednesday it was, and he's managed.
Did he say anything, or did he just like give his usual nothing?
Yeah, it was. Your words, not mine. I get in trouble every time I say he doesn't say anything. He knows. I think they know. I think that it's a balance between a little bit of time has helped give them perspective, but they aren't being fooled into thinking, just do the same thing next year and our luck will be better. I think they realize that some changes need to be made. We've heard the names, and I'm not linking this to Calgary, but he's always gone to the draft and got something done. We hear Patrick Marleau's name. We hear Phil Kessel's name. Is there anything else that's kind of bubbling around as we get closer to it? It'll probably heat up, obviously, but he had suggested there is a lot of conversations going on.
There are a lot of conversations going on. There's no question about that. There's a lot of talk. I mean, like, to be honest, I think, and we have kind of talked about this before, how many untouchable players are there in the league anymore?
Not a lot.
Not many. Now, I do think that one of the things that might be going on is I think that you guys are looking at what it would take to move James Neal. And, you know, I just think now there's two options here. You can say to him, come back here, show us what you didn't this year, and say, okay, you know, maybe if you come back better next year, our trade value is better. Your trade value is better. That helps us make a move, or we find a happier marriage. But I do think that you guys are looking at investigating, you know, what would it take to move him, and what would you have to take back? And I think you guys have looked at a lot of things. I just don't necessarily think you like the answers that, you know, you've been given to this point.
Well, I can't imagine there'd be anything palatable at all for a guy who's 31, worst year of his career, and has four left at 575. You'd have to take on money in return, plus give up something. That's an unwinnable situation to me.
Well, I don't necessarily think if you have to take on money, you don't necessarily have to give up something. I don't think that's necessarily true, because there are contracts around the league that other teams will want to move. And, you know, I think the one thing I think about Neal is I think there will be teams that look at it and say, you know, the guy can score. And maybe whatever happened last year in a change, he could be better. Now, I think, you know, one of those teams could potentially be Edmonton. I don't know if there's a match there, but I do think that there are teams out there who look at Neil and say he could score. And, but again, like, I don't think you're going to have to give up something and take something. I don't think that's going to have to happen. I think it'll be contract for contract.
You know, I need to now press you on this. You're going to be getting phone calls all day. What possible scenario exists where Edmonton gets James Neal?
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I think that that's one. I think actually Nick mentioned it last night on Tim and Sid, and I think he was right about that. So I think, you know, I mean, look, I think there's a lot of scenarios out there. I think Edmonton was one of the teams that may have asked.
Is that right? It's not surprising. It hasn't worked out for anybody. And Neil didn't seem to be a happy player either. The coach is not a fan. Clearly, he's not a fan of the coach. He's not happy with his year. His utilization clearly isn't going to change. I don't think Bill Peters is going to bow to any kind of pressure. So that's not surprising. Something outside, I guess, outside of that, I don't. What's Edmonton looking to do? Obviously, people are going to bring on Lucic's name.
Yeah, I think they're, you know, I had heard before Holland got there that they were considering a buyout. It doesn't really help them. He's got kind of a buyout-proof deal. You know, I know there have been reports out there that they've talked to Vancouver about an Erickson deal. Who knows? Maybe you do James Neal for Lucic.
What are you doing to yourself? What are you're throwing yourself under the bus?
I was just kind of throwing that one out there. You know, I don't know. I think they're going to try. I think they're going to try to move Lucic to see what's out there. But, you know, I think Edmonton, look, I think they want to maybe the one of the things that, you know, they I know they talked to Toronto about Connor Brown. I think they're going to try to get a scorer there. So that's why I think Edmonton and Neil, I don't know how it happens, but it actually makes sense to me that they would want to try something like that. You know, I think Connor Brown is a guy that there was something going on with Toronto and Edmonton at the deadline this year. And I think Carl was one of the names in it, and he got hurt, and that kind of scuttled it. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they look at that kind of a thing again. I think Edmonton will be looking for some kind of score.
Sticking with Western Canadian teams, reports coming out this week that the Canucks were maybe in on Marcus Johansson at the trade deadline.
That's true. I think that was reported at the time.
Okay. For a team that's rebuilding, that's a very not rebuildy move. Do the Canucks view themselves as now taking a next step in the rebuild process to try to contend next year?
I think they want to contend for a playoff spot next year.
Okay.
And, you know, Marcus Johansson has played pretty well. You know, I think, you know, he hasn't exactly hurt himself this offseason. You know, I think the Canucks look at it like they want to contend for a playoff spot at least. And that guy's had a good playoff. He's some of the best hockey I've seen him play. He's competed pretty hard, so... I mean, look, I think Vancouver could beat it, and yes, I do think they were in on him at the deadline, but, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of teams looking at that guy.
You know, I need to go back to this. people are they want to know, are you drunk or trolling or what's happening?
Look, I don't think that's going to happen, like the Lucic for Neil. I was just saying, I was kind of just sort of thinking about it.
Right.
And look, guys, everybody relax.
You're never coming back on this show. But yeah, but you put your own leg in the bear trap. I mean,
I did. Look, like I said, I think Edmonton's looking for scorers. You look around the league. I mentioned Connor Brown in Toronto. I know they've had Connor Brown, interest in Connor Brown before. Like I said, I think they were talking about a deal with Toronto at the deadline. It fell through, but I think they're potentially interested in looking at that again. And, you know, I think, like I said, I think Neil's available. He's the kind of player that I think Edmonton would have some interest in. Just forget the contract for a second, just necessarily his ability. And, you know, I mean, look, like, I don't think it's going to be Neil for Lucic. Look, I don't. I just...
Well, even move on from that.
Make it laugh.
I'm just trying to envision a situation where these two teams, A, deal with each other, and B, for a deal or a player with this kind of a price tag, what that even looks like.
Well, I said, just throw out the contract for a second. I think that's the kind of player that I think Edmonton's looking for scorers, and he is one when he's on it. But I don't necessarily think it's going to happen. I was just sort of stream of consciousness
there.
I won't do it again.
Okay, I'll let you off the hook.
Just everybody take a deep breath. Like, I'm just throwing stuff against the wall.
True living on line one. Eric,
don't worry. If he's mad, he'll call me directly.
I know he will. That's what I mean. Hey, Eric Karlsson.
Yeah.
Kiss and make up with the Ottawa Senators? Is there any chance?
I don't buy that. I don't. I don't think that's happening. No. I think the divorce was too painful. I think that the fact that that story got out is just a fact of that everybody believes he wants to go back east. I mean, it's common knowledge that his wife's family from Ottawa and really loves Ottawa. So I think that that's sort of just a bit of if A plus B must equal C kind of thing. I don't see it. I think it is. I never say nothing's 100% not going to happen because life is weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say it's extremely unlikely. I don't know about Montreal either. It's going to be interesting. I mean, we're expecting any day now to hear, you know, Carlson's decision on San Jose, and then we'll see where we go.
Heard a rumor this week where Nazem Kadri was being traded for Jacob Trubda. I don't know if that's been announced or if there's any legs to that. Start with Kadri in Toronto.
Well, there's a lot of interest in him, and Toronto has at the very least tested his value.
Yeah.
Put it this way, there's a lot of interest in Kadri, and if they want to trade him, they will have no shortage of takers.
Sure.
Now, Kadri has a partial no-trade clause. I'm under the impression Winnipeg is on his list. They would need permission to trade him there. So, and as far as I can tell, that has not happened. I was told that deal is not occurring. I mean, we'll find out, but there's a lot of interest in Trouba. There are a lot of people that would like to get their hands on Trouba.
I guess.
Now, the one thing I can't figure out yet is if Winnipeg is doing this with people permission to talk to Trouba. I don't think so, but I don't know it.
Speaking of permission, Kevin Hayes dealt to Philly via Winnipeg.
Yep.
What's the percentage there in your estimation that he signs long-term with the Flyers?
I hate to put a percentage on it because I don't know what's happened.
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell you this, Dean. When I first looked into it, like Philly was doing a lot of research on Hayes. I knew they were interested. They were asking a few questions about him. But I think one of the things that happened was so they figured they made the deal because they wanted to talk to him officially. I have heard that that's not his top choice. But that doesn't mean they're not going to be able to get him signed.
Right.
You know, Philly's going to be aggressive, and that aggressiveness can work. But I'd heard that there were other teams he was potentially thinking about before the trade to Philly materialized. So we'll see. But I heard it wasn't like the top option on his list. Now, the one thing I should clarify is everybody thinks Philly can offer him 8 years. They can't. The max they can offer him is 7. If they had signed and traded him with Winnipeg, they could have done 8. But until next year's trade deadline, the only team that could have offered him 8 years was Winnipeg because he was on their list at the time of the deadline.
Oh,
8 years.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
It's the same thing as the Erik Karlsson thing. Remember?
Yeah.
They couldn't, when they traded for Karlsson, they couldn't sign him until 8 years till after the trade deadline.
Gotcha. Well, good stuff. We appreciate it. A little content for us on a Friday.
Just don't.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm talking about the Trouba.
Yeah. Okay.
Have a great weekend. We'll be watching.
I can't wait till my phone rings today.
Yeah, if it's not already. Hey, thank you, Elliot.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care.